Chapter 24. Could it be her? My heart swelled at the thought and got me moving. The tether at my chest pulled me left, so that's what I did. I crawled, the dying flashlight in my hand and the heavy duffel over my shoulder. The passage became tighter as I traveled. I had to move to my stomach, careful not to rip the suit on a bone or tooth. My mask fogged in the hot, oppressive air. I trudged on. Several junctions and curves littered the way, but I always knew which way to turn. Sometimes the conduit would get wider, sometimes so tight I could barely squeeze through. Occasionally I'd see movement up ahead or hear a furtive rustling noise just behind me. At a few larger junctions, I'd have to wait as a quick-moving line of drones blurred past. At first I flattened myself down as they neared, terrified they'd stop to investigate, but they didn't seem to notice me at all. Every time I got back to my knees, the fanny pack peeled away like Velcro off the meat floor. I traveled for what seemed like an hour, and while I knew I was going slowly, it felt as if I'd crawled the length of the grinder and back. I turned a corner and headed down a steep angle. I knew I was getting close. I could feel it, and I quickened my pace. I emerged through a hole into a room about the size of my bedroom, small but large enough to stand. I stood upon what seemed to be the roof of a car, and the walls here appeared metal. Real metal, not the organic material the grinder used to girder its shape. Though that was present as well, but thicker, wider, and pinker than up above. This room was a dead end. But I could feel her, just on the other side of the wall. I pounded, and the barricade felt solid. The material was dense steel, made from something sturdier than a car, like the wall of... like the walls of an armored truck. My heart racing, I searched for a way in. It seemed like this was the back of the truck, but if there was a door, it was covered with the thick nerve bundles or some other metal. I could find no handle or entrance. Come on. There, just to the right, a single, naked man stood sandwiched between two hunks of wall. If I could get past him, I might be able to angle my way around. I grabbed the man's wrist and pulled, but he wouldn't budge. In the trip through the grinder's pipes, I'd lost most of the needles I'd duct taped to myself, but I still had a few attached to my arm, and I grabbed one now.
Sorry, dude,
I said, and I plunged the needle into the guy's heart. I depressed the plunger, releasing the deadly neurotoxin into his body.
Only use these if you have to,
Clementine had said.
It might not work, but if it does, it might work too well.
What is it?
Well, it's a bit of a cocktail. I've been working on it for a while. It's a synthetic neurotoxin. 2 cc's of this stuff will drop an elephant, so make sure you don't break yourself. It'll be game over.
I didn't want to ask her why she would be working on such a thing, so I left it at that. The man fell forward, dead and stiff. But it didn't stop there. The entire room sagged. 2 more people just beyond him dropped, like rotten fruit falling from the vine. One was a younger derby girl I recognized, still wearing her jersey from the Savage Patch Kids. The organic nerve girders holding the metal into place twisted up like the legs of a dead spider, and the car underneath my feet dropped away. I jumped and grabbed the ceiling with my free hand, clinging to another nerve ending. Light filled the room, and I looked down through a hole in the grinder, down to desert rock moving by underneath. The floor closed on itself just as quickly, people rushing from all directions to fill in the hole. I may have gone this far unnoticed, but not anymore. I eased myself down, afraid I'd be dropped through the hole or grabbed. I lifted my feet just as a new nerve bundle grew, moving serpentine across the floor. But nothing attacked. Yet. The man I had injected opened up a short passageway behind the metal wall, and I squeezed in, revealing the side of the vehicle I'd been trying to get to. It was an armored truck. A big one, too, with dual wheel sets on the back. The Brinks logo was discernible as I brushed past the passenger side of the truck. She was in here. I could feel it. I moved past the logo until I came to a single door with a window. This was the door the guards in the back used to exit and enter when the truck parked on a curb. I grabbed the handle and pulled, but it wouldn't open. Even if I could get it open, I'd only be able to open the door a crack. I peered inside, but I could only see dark shadows within.
Neff!
I called, banging on the door.
Neff!
I could feel her, right there on the other side. I tried the handle again, desperation rising. I couldn't get in. I banged again, so hard my hand ached through the glove.
Ness, please! Oh, God, please! I'm here! I've come all this way! I'm here!
I banged again. Then, I heard it. A rustling noise within. And a face appeared just on the other side of the glass. Niff. Pale. Afraid. But it was Niff. And she was alive. I found her. I found her.
Adam?
Niff said, her eyes wide with surprise, her voice muffled through the bulletproof glass.
Is that really you?
Niff!
I called, as tears streamed down my face.
I'm going to get you out of here. We're going home, baby. I've come to save you.
A hand grabbed my shoulder. Another grabbed my mask. I was twisted violently around as my mask ripped off. A third hand grabbed my hood and pulled, taking hair and skin with it. I never saw my attacker. All I felt was the cold hand that touched my bare neck.